Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our merciful Father, you have sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to open the eyes of the blind. May you open our eyes so that we may see and understand your word, that we may know our sins and believe and trust in you for our forgiveness and our salvation. We ask you to open our hearts so that we may worship and praise you with our whole heart. We come before you with humble hearts, seeking your grace. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Word of God Come Down on Earth. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. By the authority and command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
We pray. Merciful Father, you gave your Son Jesus as the heavenly bread of life. Grant us faith to feast on him in your word and sacraments, that we may be nourished unto life everlasting. We pray this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from the Old Testament book of Exodus. We read from chapter 16, verses 2 through 15, and also verse 31. This is the account of the Lord sending manna from heaven, literally bread from heaven. It ties in with our sermon text for today, where Jesus tells us he is the true bread from heaven, the bread of life. The entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat around pots of meat and ate as much food as we wanted. But now you have brought us out into this wilderness to have this whole community die of hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Watch what I will do. I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day they will prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "At evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your constant grumbling against the Lord. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses said, "Now the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening, and as much bread as you want in the morning, because the Lord has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Tell the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling.'" As Aaron spoke to the entire Israelite community, they turned toward the wilderness, and suddenly the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At evening you will eat meat, and in the morning you will eat bread until you are full. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" So in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, a layer of dew surrounded the camp. When the layer of dew was gone, there were thin flakes on the surface of the wilderness, thin as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Because they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you as food to eat." And we jump to verse 31. The house of Israel called it manna. And manna is a Hebrew word that means, "What is it?" It looked like white coriander seed, and it tasted like wafers made with honey. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. Our second reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 4. We read verses 17 through 24. "Glory be to thee, O Lord, These words from the Apostle Paul remind us that when the Lord makes us a new creation, he means it. He turns us from our old ways, our sins, and makes us a new creation in Christ, fully forgiven and free to walk in his righteousness. Paul writes, "So I tell you this and testify to it in the Lord. Do not walk any longer as the Gentiles walk." And he's using the term Gentiles there to refer to non-believers or heathen. "Do not walk any longer as the Gentiles walk in their futile way of thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Because they have no sense of shame, they have given themselves over to sensuality with an ever-increasing desire to practice every kind of impurity. But you did not learn Christ in that way. If indeed you have heard of him and were taught in him, since the truth is in Jesus. As far as your former way of life is concerned, you were taught to take off the old self, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be renewed continually in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, which has been created to be like God in righteousness and true holiness." Here ends our second reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please rise. We join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed on the top of page 6. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, Life-Giving Bread.
Lord Jesus Christ,
Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his Son, who is the bread of life, the bread sent by God from heaven, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from John chapter 6. We'll read verses 25 through 35. And as you can see in the text, this takes place the day after Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, you are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So they said to him, "What should we do to carry out the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Then they asked him, "So what miraculous sign are you going to do that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said to him, "give us this bread all the time." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been on a low-carb diet? It's the type of diet where you have to cut down on eating carbohydrates, that is starches and sugars, etc. And they encourage you to eat more protein and more fiber. But one of the items they require you to cut out, or at least cut way back on, is bread. If you're going to follow a low-carb diet, you're probably going to have to cut out a lot or all of your bread. Well, if you've ever tried that type of diet before, you probably know that especially in the first few days, in the early parts of this diet, you are going to experience likely some pretty severe bread cravings. Our bodies get used to eating the yeast and the sugars found in bread and other foods so that when we take that away, our bodies actually crave it like a drug. It can be a very difficult thing to get through. A number of years ago, I actually tried this diet for a while, and I was only able to make it for a few weeks. I lost some weight. I thought I was following it pretty well, but I could barely think. I was getting very dizzy and just very, very fatigued. I got up in the pulpit one Sunday, and I could barely remember what I was going to say. And I thought, okay, it's time to stop and go back to what I was eating before. I just couldn't do it. I remember talking to one of my sisters and telling her that I was trying this kind of diet, and she said, "Nope, not me. I'd rather die than not eat bread." Well, maybe you wouldn't go that far, but I'm sure many of us share that same love of eating bread. Well, does our craving for physical bread match our craving for spiritual bread? Do you have bread cravings for the bread of life, Jesus Christ? Or what do we crave more, feeding our bellies or feeding our souls? The people of our text for today probably would not have done too well on a low-carb, bread-free diet. Their craving for physical bread was just about out of control. When they found Jesus after he had fed the 5,000 men, that's just counting the men, remember, this may have been many more people than 5,000 that he fed. When he fed these people with just 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish, it's obvious they weren't seeking him to have their souls fed and wanting him to teach them again. But rather, Jesus tells them what was really in their hearts. He says, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." What's even worse is that these people had just witnessed this incredible miracle, the miraculous feeding of thousands of people, and yet what do they say? They still demand a miraculous sign from Jesus. They asked him, so what miraculous sign are you going to do that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform? You mean besides the feeding of the thousands of people with five loaves of bread and two small fish? They were still demanding a sign. That illustrates for us the tragedy of unbelief. It illustrates for us the danger of turning Jesus into simply our bread king. We'll simply never be satisfied. The unbelieving heart's demand for more proof will never be satisfied. It will never be met, no matter how many miracles it witnesses. And the heart that seeks Jesus for simply earthly reasons or solely for earthly reasons, that belly will never be filled. And that's why Jesus instructed the people who had gathered around him. He tells them these words. He says, "Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Think back to our Old Testament reading that is referenced in this section of John. Even if God were to send manna from heaven, like he did for the children of Israel, if he was to give us bread directly from heaven, like the children of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness, those people would still have to eat again. They'd get hungry again. They would need to eat over and over. That bread, as the Lord said, was temporary. In fact, he saw to it that that bread would spoil after one day. That bread could preserve life, but it couldn't give it. It couldn't create it. In contrast, what does Jesus say about the bread of life? He says this, "My Father gives you real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven, and it gives life to the world." And the people's response does at first sound pretty good, doesn't it? They say, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." But as we read on in this chapter, we find out that they were just thinking still about physical bread. The thought of never growing hungry again. What a great blessing that would be. Just feed us all the time, Lord, and we'll never have to go physically hungry. And so Jesus has to make it clear to them that he was speaking of spiritual life that only he can give. Verse 35 of our text, he says, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." So are we as misguided as the people in our text? Do we view the physical and material things that God blesses us with as the ultimate blessings from God, the ones that we desire the most? Do we only have physical bread cravings? Jesus reminds us in our text, "Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of God, the Son of Man, will give you." Jesus put this idea, this thought, in another way in the Gospel of Matthew. When he said, "Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is our heart? Where is our heart set? Is it on earthly bread, earthly and material things, or is it on heaven? That treasure, the bread of life, is right here with us. No, Jesus is not walking the earth physically like he was in those days, but we have the physical bread of life, or the spiritual bread of life, right here with us in his word. It's right here in our Bibles waiting for each one of us to open and eat of it for ourselves. And like that plate of broccoli that you might not want to have in your meal today, you know it's good for you, but are you going to eat it? Are we going to open up these words of God and receive those blessings that are right there waiting for us? The prophet Jeremiah reminds us of this. He says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." The psalmist also says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." We know it's good for us. We want to eat it. We should eat it. And yet, how often don't we go for days, maybe even weeks or even longer, without eating from this food that endures to eternal life? I know I wouldn't dream of going a day, much less weeks or even months, without physically eating food. We know what would happen to us. We would start to wither away. Our health would deteriorate. We would physically end up dying if we didn't eat. So what's going to happen to us if we aren't spiritually eating from the Word of God? We certainly are not going to get healthier and stronger spiritually. We are not going to grow closer to God or grow stronger in our faith. No, we're going to get weaker. Our faith will begin to deteriorate and shrink little by little. So what's the answer? The answer is to start eating. To continue eating. Just as daily nutrition is good and essential to maintaining our physical health, so feeding our souls on that bread of life is essential to maintaining good spiritual health. How is it that you think that our bodies began to have this craving for physical bread? How do we get that kind of craving? Well, we got it because we ate lots and lots of bread in the first place, right? Our bodies begin to expect it. They begin to crave it. In the same way, let's develop a healthy bread craving in a spiritual sense. Constantly feeding on Jesus, the bread of life. And the more that we read and spiritually digest that word of Christ, the more we'll crave it. The more our hunger will grow. And yet, there's a paradox here, isn't there? At the same time, Jesus promises us our hunger and thirst will be completely and forever satisfied. He says, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry. And the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." So we'll crave more and more of this bread of life, but that bread of life also gives us complete and total spiritual satisfaction. How so? Well, when our starving souls hear from the very words of Jesus that he's the one who has washed our sins away by his blood, that his cross takes away all the guilt and shame that rests on our souls and our hearts, then our souls are truly filled and they are at rest. When our weary souls hear the very words of Jesus that because he lives, we will live with him in eternity in the mansions that he's preparing for each one of us, then our hearts and our minds and our souls are truly content and they are at peace. When our own souls are fed the body and blood of Jesus, in and with that bread and wine in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of our sins, then our souls are truly satisfied. We are truly satisfied in Jesus through his word and through the miracle of his sacrament. There's nothing else that we need to add to the spiritual meal that we've been given in Jesus. He is the bread of life. We are, as Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, complete in him. We are completely saved and we are completely satisfied. May we never willingly put ourselves on a bread-free spiritual diet. May God give us his spirit so that we always have bread cravings for Jesus, the bread of life, so that we may say with a sincere heart of faith, "Lord, give us this bread always." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. We continue with our prayers for today. There have been some prayer requests made. First of all, for Joy St. John's friend, Renee. We have prayed for her previously. Joy is one of our members in Sacramento. Renee has been undergoing treatments for brain cancer and has been looking for a place to live after getting out of the hospital. And the Lord has blessed them with an apartment. So we give thanks for her and for her family. We also pray for our country during this election year, that the Lord would continue to guide us and protect us and watch over us. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes?
Remembering Ida Drew celebrating 93 years of grace this weekend.
We give thanks to our Lord for giving our sister Ida so many years of his grace. Thank you for remembering that too. Any other prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are the bread of life that feeds our souls and sustains us and gives us life, true life in you and eternal life in heaven with you. Move us to feed our souls on your word daily and to partake of your sacrament, the Lord's Supper, regularly for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We thank you, Jesus, for sustaining and giving so many blessings to our dear sister Ida, for providing her with 93 years of life, for friends and family members, but most of all for the faith that you've given her, to trust in you as her Savior. Continue to keep her both body and soul in your grace and give her your blessings in the days that are ahead for her. We pray that you would also continue to give healing and strength according to your will to Joy's friend Renee. We rejoice that with her and her family that you have provided a place for her to live. Strengthen her trust in you through this trial and draw her and her family closer to each other and most importantly, closer to you, trusting in your grace, goodness, and salvation. Be her comfort and strength and give her the guidance of your wisdom going forward as she continues to seek the right and proper treatment for her cancer. We pray, Lord, for all who need your special care and for your healing for whatever is ailing and troubling them. Give them relief from their pains and illnesses, from their anxieties and stresses, and help them and all of us to turn all of our cares over to you, for you care for us. During this election year, Lord, we continue to pray for our country. Give protection to our leaders, to our political candidates, and give wisdom from you, O Lord, to all those who have authority over us. Give peace and civility to the political climate in our country and to all of our citizens, that we may be united as a nation, that we may carry out our democratic processes peacefully, fairly, and without fear. Restrain and defeat the plans and works of those who would bring destruction and chaos to our country and bring peace to those areas of the world that are torn apart by conflict and war, for you are the God of order and peace. Bless us and our country in every way, and move all of our citizens to trust in you for salvation and to walk in your ways. In your name we pray these things. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, not only a hymn that fits with the sermon theme, but also a pre-communion hymn, What is This Bread? Thank you. Please rise. We continue on the top of page 10 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
We now join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Please be seated. We ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to receive the Lord's Supper at this time. We begin with those who would like to take the packets and receive the Lord's Supper in their pews. Please take out your packets and begin with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now at the direction of the usher, we ask communicant members to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at our altar.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Take and eat.
Please rise. We continue with the Nunc Dimittis on the top of page 13.
Which thou hast prepared me.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. We close our service with our last hymn, Christ the Word of God Incarnate. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Christ the Word of God incarnate, Lord and
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray you've been blessed through the message that you've heard again today. A few announcements from the bulletin. This afternoon I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and then they are having their congregational meeting this afternoon at 2. That will be the precursor to our joint congregational meeting next Sunday. So if you look at the bulletin on page 15, you'll see the schedule for next Sunday. We will have Bible class at 9 a.m., usual time here in the fellowship hall. And then we'll be having a joint worship service with both of our congregations meeting next Sunday at 10 a.m. Following the service, then we'll have our joint congregational meeting, followed by, Lord willing, a call meeting to call our next pastor. And then after that, we'll have our voters meeting to do the elections to replace the outgoing council member, Scott, for the rest of this year. During the meeting, the women will be providing us a light lunch. We thank them for offering to do that. It could be a decently long day of meetings, and when those meetings are over, the women are asked to have their auxiliary meeting after the voters' meeting. So come ready to share your thoughts and to participate in the meetings next Sunday following our worship service, and hopefully we'll get a good attendance, and everyone will be able to participate and share their thoughts going forward. Next Sunday, also, I'll be heading to Southern California for our worship service in the Ontario area at 6:30. There will then be no Hayward worship service next Sunday because of our joint worship services and meetings. Check your mailboxes. If you did not get it last week, there is a calendar for the month of August in there, and there are extra printed copies on the entryway table. If those who are at a distance or are unable to attend in person next Sunday, I do have my Zoom link in the bulletin, and I will share it again next Sunday, so we'll have that on the screen in the fellowship hall as well for those who can't make it in person. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.